Okay, Rabbi, so for Parshas Lech Lecha, let me give you a handout if you like this. And
this is all inclusive. This is
all inclusive. If that's not enough for you, I'll try to get more. You know, and we'll close the doors and we'll get started. This is what's called the Shvilei Pinchas. So if everyone can take a copy, it would be great.
Did you ever use for that man?
Yes,
very
good.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 You see?
Okay, so
we have one.
Jeremy's, yeah.
And we have two. I don't see anyone else.
Okay, well, that's
okay, no, I'm just saying, what I was asking for from this list but is a commitment.
But he was the one guy who was an ex there.
Wasn't he an ex for Wednesdays?
We're
talking about Thursday.
But people said yes last week to you. Everybody told you yes.
David,
yes.
That's why I bothered you with this, because I purposely chose Thursday. So you see what I'm saying? Two out of this whole list.
Okay, well.
It's better than zero, right? But, you know, okay. I'm just trying to know if there's an interest in this year, because for me, it's acrobatics in the air, so.
I want to tell you that I gave over your shoot in your life, Rosh Shabbos.
Yeah.
With my son-in-law Rosh Yeshiva and a whole lot of Yeshiva boys around, and they were absolutely astounded. So I think it's nice to have it on a Thursday, because then we edit Shabbos and we can use it on our Shabbos day.
Thank you. David,
thank you.
Okay. This is an equally amazing piece, and it has to do with our relationship as the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Yishmael. And I feel that this is something that's very important for us to understand in our time. The Arabs will tell you that they are descendants of Yishmael. We have raya's from the Maharal Prague and other sources that the Arabs are in fact descendants of Yishmael. We're going to see that Yishmael has a very strong foothold. It's not something that we should be light about, even in the Torah sources. And although Yishmael represents something that's called a klipa, the word klipa comes from the world of mysticism, but even though it's a kind of a fallout, nevertheless, it still has some achiza, some relationship to Kedusha, and we have to figure out, again, as far as military might is concerned, that's something we have to leave for the strategic experts in the military field. But as far as the Avodah is concerned, we have to figure out, what is Yishmael all about? What is his relationship with Esav? Why is it that the Golus is continuing? How can we, al derech Avodah, form an anti-force, a kedusha against the klipa of Yishmael? And that's why I think that this particular essay is very important and very timely. In this week's parasha, the parasha of Lech Lecha, we have to read the psukim that talk about Yishmael. Of course, Yishmael's mother is Hagar. And the Torah says that after Hagar is down and out, she gets a revelation from a malach. And again, if you're following the text, you'll always notice that there is a quote that's in bold, and then there is an interpretation that's in the regular print. So if you look in the bold print, in the first paragraph, you will see a quote from Parashas Lech Lech. Vayomer lo Malach Hashem. The Malach addresses Hagar. Hinoch hara, you become pregnant, the allotted ben. Vikaros shmo Yishmael. Kishoma Hashem el onyech. She is down and out. God becomes aware of her anguish. And that's called Shoma Hashem es onyech. Those words become the essence of the name Yishmael. So already before Yishmael is born, because Kishama Hashem es onyech, God listens and hearkens to the anguish of Hagar, the name Yishmael is given. And now God, through the Malach Hashem, reveals what the essence of Yishmael is. V'hu yeh pera adam. He'll be somebody who's wild. Now, these are the six words that we want to emphasize. Pera adam. Yodo bakol. Please underline those words. Yodo bakol. And then, please, and this has to be underlined and bolded, and whatever highlights, whatever colors you have, if you have green, then add red, blue, and purple, whatever you can. Yad Kol Bo. Those three words are going to reveal the secret of everything that we want to know about how to undermine Yishmael, how to defend the Jewish people, how to bring about the ultimate redemption from Yishmael. It's all the Yad Kol Bo. Those are the three key words. So we've broken up these words. I mentioned the number six, but it's really five, because Pera Ado is sort of like an overall introduction. So it's Yado Bakol, those two words. And then V'yad Kol Bo. So these two phrases, if we split these five words into two categories, the Reisha is Yado Bakol and the Seifa is Yad Kol Bo, we begin to understand the power of Yishmael, that's called Yado Bakol, and the antiforce, the antithesis of Yishmael, of Yad Kol Bo. Rashi explains, Yado Bakol, list him. List him of the mortars that attack people, take away their money, sometimes take away their lives, and they're very mean and cruel. Okay, so that's Yado Bakol. But now we get to the next three words. Those are the key three words. V'yad kol bo. Now we're talking about the anti-force against Yishmael. Now the power of Yishmael is Yodav HaKol, but the counter-force is Yad Kol Bo. Says Rashi, HaKol Sonim Oso Umizgarim Bo. It means that the nations of the world despise Yishmael and they fight against Yishmael, because Yishmael is the listim. He represents that anti-force, a very powerful force of Yodav HaKol. But now the nations of the world unite against him. That's called Sonim Oso. That's Rashi. We want to focus our attention not so much on Rashi, although Rashi is helpful because he divides these five words into two sections. The Reisha is Yodav HaKol, is the power of Yishmael. The Seifa of Yad Kol Bo is the anti-force to undermine Yishmael. That much we'll take from Rashi. But here we prefer the approach of the Ramban. The Ramban says that Pera Adam is already an introduction to indicate the power of Yishmael, the amazing, absolute power of Yishmael. Kol kach gadol. The Ramban doesn't have enough words to describe the power of Yishmael. Asher yado bakol. What does yado bakol mean? Forget about listing, says the Ramban. And the Ramban is also following in the footsteps of the Ibn Ezra. But rather, Yado Bakol means Lihilachem im Kol Ha'umos. This powerful Koach Gadol of Pera Adam can fight a battle against any nation, all the nations, V'inatzchu, and could win those battles. Says the Ramban, however, at the end of the day, there are three other words in the pasuk. The anti-force, V'yad Kol Bo. What's V'yad Kol Bo? Yiskabsu Kol Ha'umos Li Lochem Bo V'natsku O. So we need the United Nations to come together and finally have one unity to fight against Yishmael. That's what we're going to happen. And when that happens, we can neutralize that unbelievable power of Yishmael. Now again, at this point in our presentation, we don't know exactly how this is going to happen, nor do we know what Klal Yisrael, what role they play here in this whole picture of back and forth. Yishmael's on top, and now we have to defeat Yishmael. Where do Klal Yisrael fit into the picture? What does it mean, Yad Kol Bo, for us? Again, Yad Kol Bo, according to the Ramban, means that the nations of the world have to gather together and defeat.
Where is the Ramban? You've written the word Ramban here, I can't see it.
Yeah, in the second paragraph he quotes the Ramban, and that is on the third line.
Oh,
Pera Adam Kol Kach Gadol. He actually summarizes the Ramban. So if we had more time, which we don't, we would go through the Ramban, you know, word for word, letter for letter. But what we're getting here is a synopsis of the Ramban. Again, the whole thrust of this is to create this tension between, on the one hand, the great power of Yishmael, and on the other hand, the anti-force to try to defeat Yishmael. That's what we get from the Ramban. But what we don't get is the question of Klipa versus Kedusha, meaning on the spiritual arena, not on the physical battlefield, you know, the the military battlefield, but on the spiritual battlefield, what can we learn from the Yad Kol Bo? Meaning, what energies and what emphasis can we put in our Avodas Hashem so that we can understand how to be machnia, how to undermine and neutralize the klipa, that powerful klipa called Yishmael. What is it all about? What is Yishmael, and how do we counter against Yishmael on the spiritual battlefield? That's the subject of this essay. Now, in order to understand what goes on with Galut and Geula, with exile on the one hand and redemption on the other hand, we have to know that at some point in history, and there are early, you know, there's an early harbinger of this, there's going to be a joint effort of Edom, which means Esav, and Yishmael. The two of them partner up. Where does this partnership begin? It begins when Yishmael, when Esav actually becomes what we call a mechutan of Yishmael. And the Torah is going to describe a little bit later on in Sefer Bereishis that Esav is going to marry into Yishmael. So we'll get to that soon. Again, we're not up to it yet, so don't look for it. You won't find it. It's going to be on page 3. So I know that Dr. Plotsky is very sensitive about the text. So what I just told you now, we're going to get to a little bit later on. But there's a famous piyut for the Slichos. You may remember it. And that Slicha was authored by one of the great Paitonim, one of the great Rishonim. His name was Rabbi Shfatya. And you'll see this again. Now I want you to follow the text. In the middle column, do you have the middle column? The first major paragraph is Zehu. Yes, no, maybe so. You have it? Okay, you have to help me along here, God, fellas. Rabbi Shfatya says the following. Maybe you'll remember this. Yisrael nosha b'ashem chuas olamim. We're talking about the chua and the redemption, the salvation of Klal Yisrael through God. And he says the following. Yivashu li'ein kol. This is his own liturgy, his own poetry. V'al yimshalu b'arishon. We're asking Hashem to bring about the day when the evildoers will not defeat us. And how is that going to happen? Says the Paiton, Kaleh, when God destroys, Kaleh is Miloshon, consumption, you know, when something is completely consumed. Seir, Vichosno. Now watch this. The word Seir is a secret code word for Esav. Esav is always called Seir. In fact, the city, not the city, but the land in which he settles is called Eretz Seir. Some identify it with Saudi Arabia, I don't know. But then it's Chosno. Chosno is what we call a Mechutan. And this is all based on the fact that there was a Mechutanshaft, an intermarriage between Yishmael and Esav. And this is going to show up later on in Sefer Bereishis. The Torah is going to say, Vayelech Esav el Yishmael, Vayikach es Mochlas bas Yishmael. Esav marries the daughter of Yishmael. So the Paitot is telling us that the ultimate Geula, which is going to terminate the last Golos, is when we can finally defeat, when Hashem will allow us to save us from Seir v'Chosno, from this partnership of two powerful forces, of Seir, which is Esav, and Chosno, which is Yishmael. And that partnership finds its roots in this marriage relationship between Esav and Machlas, the daughter of Yishmael. And now, all the nations of the world that descend from Yishmael, they are considered part of what we call Golos Yishmael. All of the descendants of Esav are all part of what we call Golos Edom. And as we said at the outset, the Maharal Prague identifies the Arabs of today as descendants of Yishmael. So that the Pasuk Yado Bakol now refers to the Arabs. And Yad Kol Bo has to refer to our ability to protect ourselves against Yishmael and to bring about the downfall of the Klipa of Yishmael. Again, when I say Klipa, I mean on a spiritual battlefield. And we're going to begin now our journey with the insights of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditshava, the Kedushas Levi. Okay then, and he, which is on the bottom of the middle column, right, you see the bottom of the middle column, in his Kedushas Levi, he says the following. What is the power of Yishmael? Why is it that Yishmael is described as Yado Bakol? And the words Yado Bakol mean a tremendous power. We saw this already in the Ramban, Koach Gadol Kol Kach. And the answer is because of this week's parsha, the parsha of Milah. Because when the mitzvah of Milah is given, Yishmael is a child, is a youngster of 13 years old, and he undergoes Milah. And that...
That is mine.
Yeah, it couldn't be mine because mine is off. And that bris Milah of Yishmael gives Yishmael a tremendous amount of credit. You know, when a newborn baby, like Yitzchak in this case, is circumcised, okay, the baby cries a little bit, but it's not the full-fledged pain. There's no anesthesia over here. And Yishmael is suffering the pain of Milah. And Yishmael has what's called a sar. A sar is an angel up in heaven that represents the nation of Yishmael. And the sar of Yishmael comes up to Shamayim and says, our people have a greater claim because than Yitzchak and his descendants, because our Yishmael was circumcised at the age of 13. And therefore, says the Saro Shel Yishmael, our descendants deserve a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Why do you designate the land of Israel, the holiest land on the planet? Why, God, do you give that to the children, the descendants of Yitzchak? We, the descendants of Yishmael, that's how the Saro Shel Yishmael represents, we deserve a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. And it's so fascinating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is the following. That Yitzchak Nimol Karoy, Yitzchak's Mila was proper, but Yishmael lo Nimol Karoy. Yitzchak was circumcised at the end of 8 days, Yishmael was circumcised at the age of 13. And at this point, Rabbi Osa, we're moving on to the left column of page 1. Okay, why do Chazal, and that's where the Kedushas Levi is quoting a Medrash, why do they put the emphasis on Karoy and Lo Karoy? What is Lo Karoy about Yishmael's Mila? Again, later on, the Medrash points out that Yishmael didn't do it at the end of his 8 days, but what's Karoy about the Mila itself, Lo Karoy in the case of Yishmael? And the answer is that Mila has two parts to it. The first part is called Chituch, which is the cutting, and that is Mila, but then there's another process which is called what? Priya. Do you remember Priya? Yeah. Priya means that they dig a little bit under the skin and they pull back the skin over what's called the Atara, the crown, and that's called Priya. Yishmael underwent just the removal of his Arla, but he did not have the mitzvah of Priya. The mitzvah of Priya was exclusively given to Yitzchak. And the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Shabbos, mol v'lo para is ki'ihu lo mol. That priya is a critical part of milah. Now, the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, is quoting a Zohar. And the Zohar claims that when God responded to the angel of Yishmael, by saying that Yishmael's Mila was not a real Mila, it was only Mila without Priya, the Saro Shel Esav counter-argued and said, wait a minute. Nevertheless, despite it all, there's a rule, a moral ethical rule, that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapech Schar Kol Birya, whenever a creature goes out of its way, God gives a reward. And Yishmael underwent this pain, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give Yishmael Schar. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do at that point to counter the argument of the Saro Shel Esav? So there's an entire quote here, which is the paragraph that starts Ma Ovid from the Zohar. Do you see that? It's the third paragraph on the left column. And in the brackets, you'll see the Hebrew translation, because as you know, the Zohar is written in Aramaic, and it's a very very heavy, very hard to decipher the Zohar. Hirchik, Ma'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hirchik es b'nei Yisrael mitveikusam l'mal. Nothing happened down on earth that would be visible to the naked eye, but up in Shamayim, in the higher worlds, the upper worlds, God separates Yishmael from Dveikus, from getting close to Hashem. What God does instead, He gives the reward to Yishmael down in this earth, and He gives them a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Now, whether that portion in Eretz Yisrael is temporary or permanent is something that we have to see. But nevertheless, Yishmael has, at least at one point in history, a claim to the land of Israel. That's because Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekaper Schar Kol Biri. However, what's going to happen with that relationship between Yishmael and the land of Israel? Asidim b'nei Yisrael lishlod be'eretz HaKodesh. At some point, when the Jewish people are not there in the land, and the land of Israel is desolate, at that point, Yishmael, the children of Yishmael, will control the land. They will dominate the land. When I say the land, obviously I mean the Holy Land. And this is only going to be a kind of a temporary control of Yishmael over the land. It's kind of what we would say external. It's partial. And it parallels the Mila of Yishmael, because the Mila was also only external. It wasn't really a full-fledged Mila. It wasn't complete. It was Mila without what?
Priya.
But as a result of the fact that Yishmael gets a foothold in the land, because of that incomplete Mila that Yishmael underwent, they'll get an incomplete Achiza on the land, but that is going to be Ma'akev es Yisrael. That's going to prevent the Jews from coming back to their land until finally the entire schus, whatever merits the descendants of Yisrael deserve, will be paid up. After they're paid up, Yishmael is going to be out of the scene, and now the Bnei Yitzchak are going to take over the land. Says the Kedusha Slevi, this Zohar that foretells the future in such a precise way that at some point Yishmael, when the Jews are not around, are going to take over dominion, control over the land, but then later on, when the Jews return, they are going to remove and expel the Bnei Yishmael from the land, because at that point Yishmael is paid up, so to speak, you know, he's gotten all the reward that he deserved. All this of the Zohar, says the Kedushas Levi, is hinted in our Pasuk of five words. What does Yado Bakol mean? Yado Bakol means that the word kol is now a code word for Mila, for Bris Mila. And as a result of Yishmael's Mila, which is called kol, is Yado Bakol, which means that the Mila has such a powerful, all-encompassing enterprise, so entity, that it gives the Bnei Yishmael a status of Yado Bakol. Now, what does this mean, Yado Bakol? So the Shvile Pinchas quotes a sefer that formulates the following principle, that Mila is the yesod, is the fundamental mitzvah that encompasses all kedushas, all sanctities really find their expression in Mila. However, there's a fundamental difference, and here we're turning to page 2, which should be probably on the other side of your page 1. I'm hoping that the first word on your page will now be Bekach. Oh, thank God, because last week I got into deep trouble, if you remember. I photocopied two different articles and somehow integrated them. However, what's the difference between Mila and Priya? And the fact is the following, that Mitzvah's Mila requires a knife. Again, it doesn't have to be a knife, but it has to be some cutting instrument. It can't be done by hand. Again, it can be physically done by hand, but that would not constitute Mila. But Mitzvah's Priya has to be done by hand. It cannot be done in any other way. And that's what it means, Yado Bakol. The koch, the power that we spoke about of Yishmael that expresses itself in Yado Bakol, is the schus of Mila. Mila is called Kol, as we said before. Kol is a secret password for Mila. However, what's missing in the case of Yishmael is what? Priya. Priya is done biyat. So it means that the chelik of Yishmael and the power of Yishmael, the claim of Yishmael to the land, is in the Mila, but here's the counter power. And that's Yodo Kolbo. The Yodo here is a reference, is an allusion, I should say, to Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael has the extra part of Mila, which is so critical, called the Yad of Kol, the Yad of Mila. What's the Yad of Mila that you do with your hand?
Priya.
Priya. That's what Klal Yisrael has. And therefore, when it says the Yad Kol Bo, right, Yad Kol Bo, the Bo is the number 8, right? If you had a base and a vav, that's 8. And that is representative of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is represented symbolically by the number 8, because 8 represents the full-fledged mitzvah of Mila. So Klal Yisrael, in their battle against Yishmael, are saying, well, you Yishmael have Mila, but Mila per se, although it's Kol, it's not the be-all and the end-all, because Malvalo Paraki Ulamal, but what we have, Klal Yisrael says, is Bo. We have the Yad Kol Bo. We have not just the Mila, but the clincher, which completes the Mila, and that's Priya, and that's the eighth day, because Yishmael was not circumcised on the eighth day. So that's all this is a symbolic allusion to Klal Yisrael. So the Yad Kol Bo, those three words which I told you to color in every single color of the rainbow, Yad Kol Bo is a reference to whom? To Klal Yisrael, who are going to defeat Yishmael. Now, the word kol in Yad Kol Bo is an allusion to Yaakov Avinu. Now this is fascinating, my boss. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Bava Basra that the word kol appears 3 times with reference to the 3 avos respectively. Excellent, beautiful. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. With regard to Avram Avinu, the Pasuk says Bakol. With regard to Yitzhak, the Pasuk says Mikol. With regard to Yaakov, the Pasuk says Kol. Notice that the word Kol for Yaakov Avinu does not have a prefix, neither a beis of Bakol, nor a mem of Mikol. And Rashi says Bakol, Mikol, Kol. Be Avram, Ksiv Hashem, Berach es Avram. Bakol, please emphasize the extra beis. B'Yitzchak Sivanochi Mikol, please emphasize the extra mem. But in the case of Yaakov, it says V'chi Yeshli Kol, without any prefix. There's nothing missing. So Yaakov represents the ultimate perfection, the ultimate good. And all this, says the Shalom, has to do with the fact that this psolus in both cases of Avram and Yitzchak. How do you say psolus in English? Help me out here. Refuse or what? Chaff, the leftovers. In the case of Avram Avinu, what's going to be the refuse? The klipa? That's going to be Yishmael. In the case of Yitzchak, what's going to be the klipa? Esav. In the case of Yaakov, mitaso shlema. He's absolutely perfect. So Yaakov has kol. When it says bakol and mikol, that's a qualification of kol. That's not perfect shlema, says the Shalom HaKadosh. And kol without any prefix, which is pure, unadulterated shlemus, that's Yaakov Avinu. I'm going to see here that Yaakov Avinu and his descendants, who represent that midah, that attribute, that essence of Yaakov, that Yaakov personifies, they are the power of kol in this pasuk here in our parasha, Lech Lecha, the Yad Kol Bo. Who's going to defeat Esav? It's the Yad Kol Bo. It's going to be who's going to defeat Yishmael? It's going to be the kol Chaf Lamed, which represents Yaakov Avinu. There's something about Yaakov Avinu that is the antithesis of Yishmael, and that's going to undermine Yishmael. So, Piderech Avod, again, we're not talking about the battlefield, but to destroy and neutralize Yishmael and bring about the ultimate Geula, we need Kol. We need something from Yaakov Avinu. There's a perfect Shlemus of Yaakov Avinu. Okay. So, in order to appreciate this, we need to study the Chasam Sofer. Yeah. the Sam Sofer, which you'll see now on the bottom right column of your second page, says that the Koch of Yishmael is really the psoles of Avodas Yisrael. Meaning, if we are incomplete as the Jewish nation in our Avodah, then we have in our Avodah an admixture of psoles, and that admixture of psoles feeds Yishmael and gives Yishmael power, because Yishmael is the psoles, he's the klipa. And that's called Yodo Bakol. Bakol means an incomplete. The base of Bakol indicates the psoles, right? Like we saw in the case of Avram Avinu, it says Bakol. So now we have Yishmael who's feeding off the base of Bakol, meaning because Klal Yisrael's Avoda has psoles. We haven't yet reached the level of Yaakov Avinu. When we get to the level of Yaakov Avinu, says that Sam Sofer, that's Kol, because by Yaakov Avinu it says V'chiyeshli Kol, and Kol means perfection without any prefix, and that's going to be the defeat of Yishmael, because although Yishmael is Yod Bakol, but ours is Yad Kolbo, and that's what it means that we reach the level of the Avod of Yaakov, which is called Kol. That's the Avod of Shlemus without any psoles, mitoso Shlema. It's the perfect Avodas Hashem that's represented by Yaakov Avinu, and the Midah of Yaakov Avinu, which is Kol, is going to be Gover, is going to overcome the Midah of Yishmael, which is the psoles of Mikol. So the first part of the Pasuk in our Parsha says Yodo Bakol, right, with the bays. The second part of the Pasuk, which alludes to Klal Yisrael, says Yodo V'yad Kol Bo, correct? And the bow, we said, is the shlemus of Klal Yisrael with the mitzvah milah that encompasses all kedushas on the eighth day. That's bow. And Yad Kol Bo, the Kol, is a reference to Yaakov Avinu and his descendants who personify the great midah of Yaakov Avinu, which is the shlemus of Avodah, and that's going to completely undermine Yishmael. So if you ask me what's our Avodah on the spiritual battlefield, it's to become descendants and to implement the legacy of Yaakov Avinu, the Shlemus Havod of Kol. So now we have to ask ourselves the following question. What is Avram Avinu, what is Yitzchak, and what is Yaakov? Why is it that Avram Avinu gives birth to Yishmael, the Psoles, and Avram Avinu is considered Bakol? Yitzchak Avinu has a Midah which gives birth to an Esav, and Yitzchak is called Mikol. And finally, we get to the third midah, and that's Yaakov Avinu, who personifies Shlemus. And the answer is that Avram Avinu represents one of the three of the pillars on which the world exists. And here you'll follow the very end of the middle column on page 2, and going on to the third column on the left side. So we're starting in the middle column, going over to the left column. Is everybody with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so on the bottom of the middle column, we have the Gemara, the Mishnah in Avos, al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omid. There are three great attributes that keep the world going. There's going to be Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasodim. So the Zohar says that each one of the Avos is a paradigm of one of these three elements, the pillars of the world. Avram Avinu is the paradigm of what? Of Chesed, of Gemilas Chasodim. Yitzchak Avinu is the paradigm of what? Avoda. And Yaakov Avinu is the paradigm of Torah. Yaakov Avinu is the Amud HaTorah. He's dedicated to the study of Torah day and night. He goes 14 years without even sleeping. Yaakov Avinu is the Yoshev Oholim, and he represents V'gisa bo yomam v'layla, the shlemus of Torah. Now ask ourselves, where does the klipa come in? The first klipa comes from Avram Avinu, that's called Yishmael. Yishmael is the klipa of Chesed. Yishmael means unbridled and distorted Chesed. Yishmael is the distortion of the meat of Chesed. If you look in the parash of Arayas, which we read publicly on Yom Kippur, you will see that there's a concept called chesedhu, and it's describing an erev relationship. It happens to be a relationship between a brother and a sister, but that's not for us now. And the Torah says chesedhu. Chesed can also be distorted. You can misuse chesed. In Mitzvah Shem, when we get to Parshas Vayera, we talk about Sdom. Sdom is going to be the absolute antithesis, the klipa of chesed, because it's going to totally distort chesed. That's a subject unto itself. Don't ask me about that now. Is that okay? All right. So Yishmael becomes the klipa of chesed. Now we go down to the second level. And the second level is that of Yitzchak. The klipa of Yitzchak is going to be Esav. That's the klipa of Avodah. It's misconstrued Avodah. The descendants of Esav try to find a way of serving God, but they distort it. And that distortion becomes the klipa. And finally, and now we're on page 3, which might be your page 2 if, in terms of pages, we finally get to the level of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu represents the meat of Torah. Torah is called Tiferes. Tiferes is the absolute perfect ideal integration of two midos. Of what? Chesed and Avodah. Chesed and Gvura. Chesed, if it's unbridled, reaches a distortion of Chesed. That's the clip of Chesed. The antithetical Chesed of Yishmael. He's gonna be a murderer. And then we get to Esav. I'm sorry, we get to the midah of Avodah or Gvura, and the distortion of Gvura is going to lead us to Esav. That's the klipa of Gvura. And then finally we get to Tiferes. Tiferes is such a perfect balance between Chesed and Gvura that it leads to absolute Shlema's perfection without any klipa mitaso Shlema. Why is it that Esav wants to marry Yishmael's daughter? Remember, I told you there's going to be a discussion about that on page 3, so I'm living up to my I'm paying my debts. And this is the paragraph that starts on the right column of page 3 called Lachem, if you could find such a paragraph. Marbea?
Tomorrow morning.
Enjoy Marbea. Okay? And if you're in Termolinas, send my regards to Rav Cohen, who's the Rav there in South Spain. Okay. So the paragraph says that why did he seek out to marry the daughter of Yishmael, Vayelech Esav el Yishmael? And the answer is that Esav thought that the ultimate klipa would be the integration of two klipos, the klipa of Yishmael and the klipa of Esav. He calls it Tiferes the klipa. Unbelievable. This is the most extreme counter to all that's good in life, and the most powerful antiforce to all that's good in the spiritual world, and that's called Tiferes the Klipa. And why is Yishmael and Esav making this partnership? Why is Esav so excited about marrying the daughter of Yishmael and creating this, you know, that their children, their descendants would have this combination of klipos that becomes the klipa of Tiferes? Yatzlichu lisgaber al Yaakov. Then they together, as a joint effort, will vitiate Yaakov, because Yaakov represents Tiferes, the Kedusha. Now they would create a Tiferes, the klipa. Yaakov represents the integration of Chesed and Gvura. They would now integrate the klipa of Chesed with the klipa of Gvura, and now they would be able to destroy and undermine the klipa of Tiferes. Again, all this is not on the military battlefield, but on the spiritual battlefield. And for us to succeed, we, as the people of Israel, as the descendants of Yaakov, we desperately need to follow in the footsteps of Yaakov Avinu and achieve an ultimate Tiferes of Kedusha. From this point on until the end of this essay, the Shvilei Pinchas addresses the question of how Yaakov Avinu could somehow defeat the partnership of two klipos, the worst klipos of Esav and Yishmael, and that's going to be the Kedusha Satorah. And on the bottom right, on page 3, he quotes the Zohar. The Zohar identifies Tiferes with Torah. Torah and Tiferes are identical. Yaakov Avinu is the personification of Tiferes, the ultimate ideal integration of Chesed and Gvura, and that's what Torah is all about. And the Gemara in Brachos has a similar comment. The Gemara says, HaTiferes Zu Matan Torah. So the greatest moment of Tiferes, which loosely translates as splendor, is the moment of Matan Torah. Torah equals Tiferes. And here's where we have a chance at defeating the klipa of Tiferes, that combination, that partnership of Bnei Esav and Bnei Yishmael. Now, we know that all of mitzvos, 613, divide into two categories. Right? There are the 248 mitzvos asay, the do's, and there are the 365 do nots, los asays. The do's flow, emanate, and reflect what we call chesed. That's the powerful force, the kuvah asay, the active force of going out and adding something to this world, doing something positive. Shasa. Losa said, this is 365, that represents the meat of Gvura. Gvura means when you are self-disciplined and you move away from something. That's not creating something positive in the world, but it spares you and saves you from something negative. The Torah, therefore, is the root of both Chesed and Gvura. Torah, in its complete form, represents the perfect integration of Chesed and Gvura because it has both mitzvah asay of 248 together, mitzvah los asay of 365, totaling 613. And therefore, when we take the Torah at it as a totality, we get to Tiferes. Tiferes, which integrates both Chesed and Gvura, mitzvah asay, mitzvah los asay, and that's why Torah is always compared to Mayim. As Yishayo Anovi says, "Heavy called Some Lechula Mayim." Chazal say, "Gemara Bava Kama Pei Beis Ein Mayim Ella Torah." And Mayim represents Tiferes because Mayim is a combination of two gases, two different elements that seem to be contradictory. And that ultimate integration represents Torah. Yaakov Avinu, therefore, as Tiferes, is dedicated to Torah. He's the Amud, the pillar of Torah. He is the meat of Tiferes. He is the perfect integration of Chesed de Kedusha with Gevura of Kedusha. He becomes what's called the Har Kava. Again, it's hard to translate that word, but it means some sort of an integration. It's a hybrid. But a perfect integration. V'Yaakov ish tam yoshev oholim. Rashi says that oholim, why the plural oholim? Why is Yaakov dwelling in two tents? Rashi says the Ol of Shem and the Ol of Aver. You remember at that time the Torah was being taught and transmitted in two places with two different theories, so to speak, or methods. That of Shem and that of Aver. But really, in truth, the Shem and the Aver represents two different approaches to life. One is the approach of Chesed, and the other is the emphasis on Gvura. Yaakov Avinu sits in both Batei Midrashas. He soaks up and absorbs the Torah of both Shem and Aver in order to integrate both Chesed and Gvura to create the Koach of Tiferes, the Midah, which integrates both Chesed and Gvura. And that is going to have the potential of undermining. So you might want to emphasize these words. You see the last line in the paragraph of Hine, that's in the middle column? At the very end, it says, Bitel Bekoach HaTorah. You have that? Bitel Bekoach HaTorah. The Koch of Torah of Yaakov, you know, is able to neutralize the integration of the two klipos of Yishmael as a klip of Chesed and Esav as the klip of Gvura. That's the position of Yaakov. You know. Therefore, Yitzchak says about Yaakov, Hakol Kol Yaakov V'Hayodayim Yidei Esav. Yaakov Avinu has the ability through his kol, the kol is the kol of Torah, to create Yodayim Yidei Esav, to now take upon himself like superpowers of Esav in order to destroy this combination of just very powerful forces of Yishmael and Esav. That's the Yad Kol Bo. And the kol, as we said before, is the kol Chof Lamed, that represents the perfect Shlemus, the Tiferes of Yaakov Avinu through the Midah of Torah, of Esek HaTorah. Now take a look at the word Yaakov, and here we have a very fascinating analysis of the word Yaakov, if you take apart the four letters of his name Yaakov. Okay, now, in truth, we have what's called an otrikin, where every letter of a word is the beginning of a new word, right? You have, you know, you have like a horizontal word, and then you have vertical. But sometimes nutrikin works backwards. And in this case of Yaakov Avinu, we're going to have a backwards nutrikin. We're going to start with the beis at the end of the name Yaakov, and that beis is Betel. Yaakov has the power of Betel to vitiate or undermine. What is he undermining? The Kuf, which is the Klipos. What Klipos? The answer is the Klipos of Ayin and Yud, of Esav and Yishmael. So Yaakov Avinu represents the ultimate Betel, and that's what Rashi means when it says that Rivka has two children, two, what are they called, twins, you know, in her womb. And Vayisrotzitzu. Vayisrotzitzu means they're battling each other. Do you remember this? Famous Rashi. Rashi says that when she passed by the Ol HaTorah of Shem V'Aver, Yaakov tried to get out. He was pushing to get out, to get into the Beis Medrash. He wanted to start his career of Torah study. When she passed on the Pesach of Avodah Zarah, Esav wanted to go out. Again, Rashi hasn't mentioned Yishmael in this context. At the time of the birth of Yaakov Avinu into this world, Miyad after Esav, immediately after Esav is born, Yaakov Avinu wants to already destroy the klipa of Esav, because that's Yaakov's goal in life. So what does he do? He grabs on to the regel, to the leg of Esav. On a symbolic level, the leg of Esav represents the klipa of Esav. So the Arizal is famous for saying, Yodo Ochezes be Akev Esav. The Akev, which is the lowest part of the body, the heel, is the klipa. That's the part of the body that's almost extraneous to the body, because it doesn't even feel pain. So the Akev here is Bitul Klipas Esav. Again, the Akev is, it just leaves out one letter, namely the Yud of Yishmael, because at this point Yaakov Avinu is battling against the klipa of Esav. There's no mention at this point early in Yaakov's career of his battle against Yishmael. That's going to come much later. And when is that going to become? When is that going to come to be? He says the following. God, the Almighty Being, knows the future, and He knows already that Esav is going to join together forces and partner with Yishmael. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu would have to destroy not just the klipa of Esav. At this point, again, Yaakov is battling as he with the Shnei, you know, the two the twins in that are now emerging. That Yaakov's adversary is now Esav, and therefore he's Ochez the Akev Esav, and Akev, the Ayin of Akev is Esav. But down the line, because Hashem knows that what's going to happen is that Esav is going to partner with Yishmael, Yaakov Avinu would have to take on a whole nother project over here to be Mevatel the Klipa of Yishmael. And therefore, Vayikra Shmo Yaakov, meaning although the Pasuk says that Yodo Ochez is Ba'akev Esav, so therefore the name of Yaakov should have been Akev, but yet the name of Yaakov is given Yaakov to add the Yud. What does the Yud represent? I see I lost you already. Did I lose you? What does the Yud represent?
It says Yishmael.
Yishmael. Oh, good. You got it. Yishmael. So now Yaakov Avinu is Mevatel, the Klipa of not only the Ayin of Esav, but also has to take on the job of being Mevatel, the Klipa of Yishmael, because of that partnership. And therefore, we're going to begin to understand what it means, Yad Kol Bo. Yad Kol Bo means, since, you know, from Avram Avinu comes Yishmael, which is Yodo Bakol, right? I mean, the Bakol is referring to Avram Avinu, I mean the Klip of Avram. Therefore, we need Yad Kol Bo. Again, the Kol, as we said before, is a reference to Yaakov Avinu. And the Yad is a reference to the Priya, you remember, because the Priya is done by the Yad. And the Priya represents the perfect Kedusha and the Shlemus of Yaakov Avinu. Now it's going to be Yad Kol Bo, that the descendants of Yaakov who take upon themselves the ultimate Kiddush of Yad, become the descendants of the perfect alliance, the ideal situation of Kol of Yaakov. They dedicate themselves to the Kol Yaakov, and a Kol Yaakov is going to destroy the Klipa of both Esav and Yishmael. So in other words, we're going up from one level to Akev, Esav, where Yaakov is being mavata, the Klipa of Esav, to the level of the Yad Kolbo of a Yaakov, where we add the Yud to the Akev Esav, to be Machnia, to overcome and neutralize this double force Klipa of a partnership of Esav and Yaakov. That's why in the bottom of the column here, right before the new section, you'll see that he writes in bold print that Yaakov is Bito Klipos Esav and Yishmael. If you read the name Yaakov backwards, the Notrikun is the Koch of Torah, which is the Koch of Kedusha de Teferis. The Kedusha, the ultimate Teferis, is going to undermine both the Klipa of Esav and the Klipa of Yaakov. And how do we go about doing this? This is going to be our dedication to Torah. The Torah is given at Sinai. The Torah is the ultimate perfection of Tiferes, of Kedusha. It has all the Kedushas in it. And this is going to be the power to bring about the Geula and to defeat the partnership between Yaakov and Esav. And now we turn to page 5. Page 4. And on page 4... and I see we're running out of time. I'm going to just try to make it fast, but I think we pretty much covered the whole thing. This is a fantastic essay because, you know, we have what's called the Hesder Yeshivot. So the Hesder Yeshivot are what's called Safra and Saifa. There's an integration of both Torah study and the military battlefield. So we know what we have to do in the military battlefield, hopefully. Our Mefakdim will tell us. Okay, I'm not going to tell you about my Mefakdim when I was in Tzal, but anyway, that's a different story. But then we have the Torah. So we have the Beit Hashem, as we call the Yeshiva Bachrim, and I taught for a decade in the Yeshiva called Shalaviv. And my students would go out to the army, and then they'd come immediately back to the Beis Medrash to dedicate themselves to Torah. They really represent this perfect kind of Tiferes the Kedusha, and they're going to fight the battle against Yishmael on two different battlefields. You know, in the spiritual battlefield of Yaakov Avinu as the Omud HaTorah, and in the military battlefield of Hakol. Of a Yadayim Yadei Esav. And what he tells us here is an unbelievable chiddush, that the ultimate geula is going to be brought about by a partnership between two Mashiachs. We think there's only one Mashiach that we're waiting for. We're really waiting for two. One is called Mashiach ben Yosef, and the other is called Mashiach ben David. The Mashiach ben Yosef is totally focused on redeeming us from Golus Esav, from the physical powers of Esav. But the Mashiach ben David, he's interested in Torah, he's interested in a different kind of force that would undermine this, what we call Teferis Deklipa. So again, even though I didn't get a chance to finish this whole thing, but I think you got pretty much the flow of it. Again, we did not go through Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, who's quoted in the Zohar, who says that why is the Golus taking so long? Why is it Nimshach? Imagine that Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta was complaining about the longer Golus. And when he asked this question, one of the Tanoim said to him, it's because of Bittul Torah, because we're not dedicated enough to Torah. And the ultimate geula is because of the schus of the third of the avos, and that will give us a geula, a redemption in the fourth stage, because we really didn't get yet to that point of total dedication to Torah. And lo golu Yisrael el al bitul haTorah. What we're missing is the personification of the legacy of Yaakov Avinu, of amelus b'Torah, of Kol, of that perfect splendor that's the integration of all the great midos of Chesed, of Gvura, the Teferis that represents all the Kedushas combined. That's what's going to give us the power to undermine, at the end of days, the klipos of chesed, the klipos of gvura, the marriage relationship, so to speak, between the Bnei Esav and the Bnei Yaakov. And he ends his, I just read to you the end of the entire presentation, and he says in the very last paragraph, Hine, he says, Heyos shebitul shtei agolios of Edom v'yishmolu b'schus eisek ha-Torah, the ultimate geula is going to come when we can undermine the goals of both Edom, which is Esav, and Yishmael, is because of the schus of Esek HaTorah. So the Torah study is so critical over here. Kemoshech Nia Yaakov is Klipas Esav Yishmael B'koach HaTorah Shalo, and therefore Ashreichem Zore Al Kol Mayim, says the Tanchuma, Elu Oskei HaTorah Shenim Shulamayim Shenemar Havi Kol Tzome Luchu Lamayim, Meshalchei Regel Ashor Zem Mashiach Ben Yosef Shenim Shalashor V'chamor Zem Mashiach Ben David. And therefore, when we integrate the two Mashiachim, Mirza Hashem will defeat the partnership between Esav and Yishmael, and will bring about the ultimate Geula B'mehera V'yameinu. If you have a little more time, you'll go through page 4, because page 4 I sort of summarized. We were a little bit pressed for time. Anyone who's available, in about 8 minutes, we'll start our shiur on Hanukkah. And that's going to be at 11:45 in Yirtzeh Hashem. Phil, you had a question?
I have a question. Not to remove any of the greatness of this year, because this is really super. But don't we...
Flattery will get you everywhere.
No. Because I don't want you to take it wrong, because you always take my words wrong, you twist them, and then you make me feel bad. Okay. Don't make me feel bad.
I'll try my best.
So we call Yaakov here Tiferet. Don't we also call Yaakov Emmet? And how does that fit into this structure? And is that for another show?
Yeah,
I know.
Emmet and Tiferet are very closely related. I would say that Tiferet is the concept, and Emmet is the implementation of the concept. Emmet is made up of the three letters of the alphabet: the first, the middle, and the last. Emmet represents the Koach HaTorah in its perfect form. The Osios HaTorah, the 22 letters of the Torah, represent Torah. And the Emet represents the integration of all these letters into one entity. That's the ultimate Tiferet. So Tiferet is in a sense the concept in theory, in abstract, and then the implementation in the real world is called Emet. And Yaakov Avinu is dedicated to Emet, and therefore Tite Emet Li Yaakov. Okay then?
Anything about that? We need to counteract
this question
about the power of Ishmael praying 5 times a day.
Right. That's another discussion, a very profound discussion about the Koach HaTefillah of Yishmael. And the Koach HaTefillah of Yishmael is already hinted at. The seeds are sown back in the parsha of the Malach and his encounter with Hagar, when he says, Hine Anokh Hara, you will be pregnant, and the name of your baby will be Yishmael. Why? Ki Shama Hashem es Kol. Kol Anah. And it could be that's why we read that parasha on Rosh Hashanah, because the power of tefillah of Yishmael is a serious, serious power to contend with. It's not. But his koach of tefillah is different than our koach of tefillah, and that's why our koach of tefillah of a tefillah that's integrated with the Kedushas HaTorah, which is called a Kol Kol Yaakov, is able to ultimately undermine the koach of tefillah of Yishmael. All right then.